Hey. All right,
John. Okay, we are ready.
Good evening, everyone. I would like to call to order the April 27th, 2020 meeting of the University City Council to order. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Clay.
Present.
Councilmember Carr.
Present.
Councilmember McMahon.
Here.
Councilmember Hales.
Here.
Councilmember Cusick.
Here.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Here.
Mayor Crowe.
Here. Thank you very much. Before you have the agenda for tonight's meeting, I would welcome a motion that the agenda be approved. Is there such a motion? Motion made by Ms. Carr. Is there a second?
Seconded
by Mr. Smotherson. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Before you, you have the proclamation recognizing April 18th, 2020 as Arbor Day. We will not be reading that, but I believe that the clerk will be getting that out to us so that we can all sign the Arbor Day proclamation. Before you, you have the minutes of March 10th, 2020 study session regarding the Olive and Midland proposed development. Is there a motion to approve those study session minutes?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smotherson. Is there a second? There's a second by Mr. Hales. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Before you have the March 10th, 2020 regular meeting minutes. Is there a motion that they be approved? Motion by Mr. Cusick, seconded by Mr. Clay. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Before you, you have the April 16th, 2020 special meeting of the City Council. Is there a motion that those minutes be approved? Motion by Ms. Carr, seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. We have no appointments to boards and commissions. We have no swearing in. And as I think our citizens know, first off, thank you for joining us tonight by this Zoom-type meeting. We hope that we will do the best that we can to move this along in an appropriate fashion. We do realize that several citizens have provided us with citizen comments, and those comments have been provided to all members of council prior to this meeting. So thank you very much for providing your comments to us. We do not have a public hearing scheduled for this evening. We have before you a consent agenda with seven items on them. May I have a motion for the consent agenda?
So moved.
By Mr. Hales. Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Carr. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. You now have the city manager's report. Mr. Rhodes.
Honorable Mayor and council members, first let me start out by indicating that I have on file with the city clerk the proposed fiscal year 21 annual operating budget and the companion FY 21 through 25 capital improvement program. Those are to be distributed to each of you and they are on file with our city clerk. City report, item number one, conditional use permit for the auto service. This agenda item is being recommended. It has been through the Planning Commission with a recommendation for approval. And I believe we have the Planning and Development Director, Clifford Cross, on with us to present the item.
Yes, thank you, City Manager Rose. Good evening to the council. And Mr. Rose touched on it. This item actually went before the Planning Commission back in February for approval of a conditional use permit to initially operate an auto service facility with accessory auto sales at the property commonly known as 7404 Olive Boulevard. And I think many of you know it as the old Firestone building over there. As part of that process, the public hearing was conducted. The Planning Commission was able to consider the request, seek some public input with the request, and ultimately what came out of that meeting, as Ms. Rose had indicated, was their recommendation of approval. But the approval was for the auto service facility only, with no outdoor auto sales or operations. Staff felt comfortable with that because obviously the original building for that intent, as long as we're not creating a auto repair yard, we were comfortable with their recommendation as well. So per the code, it now comes to you as City Council, where you can approve the request as presented, you can deny the request, or you can approve the request with additional conditions. So we're seeking your action on this item tonight move forward.
Thank you, Mr. Smelser. Real quickly, before we have questions, may we have a motion, please, to approve, and then we'll do questions. Is there a motion?
Yes.
Motion by Mr. Smotherson, seconded by Mr. Clay. Mr. Smotherson.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mayor Crow. I just wanted to understand Mr. Cross's description and explanation of adding special circumstances, and if you could define what that actually means, please.
Well, ultimately, what comes to you from the Planning Commission is just a recommendation, and they basically find findings of fact and make the recommendation. You as a you can make the final approval if you've got concerns or you've received input that requires for additional buffering, for example, or things like that, within your power to attach that with your final action.
Okay, if I may ask one last question, and that is, so if in fact he's actually ultimately interested in auto sale, so if how would he then approach that? If we approve this as stated, how does he then approach or have that added to his services as a business?
Well, he would have to go through, because it's an expansion of the approved use or greater intensive. He would have to go through the conditional use permit process again. It's very tricky because when you look at auto sales, with especially used auto sales, it becomes very tricky in terms of whether you can have them or not. I think that was some of the concerns that come up as part of the approval. Technically, when you look at used auto sales, our ordinance have a supplementary regulation that calls for used auto sales only being associated with a new auto sales dealership. So in a sense, if you were to approve the auto sales with this, you would be setting a precedent that you might not benefit you in the long run. So that was the reasoning behind it. I'll be very honest, the impression I got is that the used auto sales would never be considered an appropriate use for that site.
Okay. Are there any other questions? And I can't see everybody, so I'm going to check around. Mr. Hales.
To follow up on Boyne's question, is how would it be handled or treated if this business were to have unlicensed cars on the lot?
Well, it's a tough one to enforce because you understand some of the traditional accessory uses associated with it. So, for example, if there's a concern that an overnight storage of a vehicle, or they call that overnight storage of a vehicle, is going to be a problem, then, you don't want to allow it, that would have to be a condition that would have to be put into your final action. Otherwise, it's really just an enforcement and interpretation of are they storing them there for a period exceeding traditional auto repair hours? Is the car out there because it's in the process of being sold? And I'm not saying those are the intentions of the applicant, but as indicated to the Planning Commission, that's a very tough one to enforce from a planning staff standpoint or a zoning administration standpoint, because it's interpretation. So if we found what we thought was a violation, our first action would be to do like we would any other violation and send a notice of violation to the property owner. And if they fail to comply, then obviously we would go through the process of issuing citations. Now, the one thing, because this is a CUP and it's a planning action, if it becomes too big of a problem, we in a sense could make an application to revoke the conditional use permit. And then once that's removed, then they're technically in violation of operating without a CUP. But, you know, once you have a business established, getting a relief to stop it could be a process.
And just a follow-up, is there a different zoning classification, I suppose, for a yard for storage? Like, you know, is this what's being proposed? Is there not a circumstance where a vehicle could be towed from somewhere else and essentially impounded on this lot?
Yeah, I would, I'd have to look at the specifics of the ordinance, but in the zoning districts, each zoning district, and this one is specifically general commercial, has uses that's permitted by right. And then it has uses that require a CUP. I believe a vehicle's repair facility. See, there's actually two different types. There's vehicle service. This is the least intense of it. And then there's vehicle repair facility, which you do tend to have more outdoor storage operations with. But those are traditionally require a conditional use permit within the industrial commercial zoning district. So the answer to your question is, the only zoning district that I would think that a storage yard would be even an opportunity would be in the industrial commercial.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Smotherson.
I just wanted to add to Mr. Hale's question and address Mr. Hale's question and concern. And that is, I have spoken with Mr. Hopper, and he absolutely understands that if he has cars that need overnights, that need to be there overnight, he's gonna house them inside the facility. Because he is absolutely aware of the nightclub next door that has a large participant group of people during the happy hour time frames and Friday nights. And it's incredible. They feel that entire lot.
Yes, they do.
He's absolutely aware of that. And also, he's also working with them so that they can expand their business into part of the Firestone facility. So he's not intending to leave cars there overnight. And if they do, they're going to be in the garage. Inside, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Mr. Kusick, you have a question?
Yes, I have two questions. A follow-up to the Mr. Smotherson saying that he is not going to leave vehicles outdoors. But Mr. Cross, do you know how many vehicles he will be able to leave indoors?
Yeah, if I recall, the building is rather large, and it had originally three bays that each accounted for two vehicles. And I believe the third bay is actually going to be part of the new renovations associated with Elmo's. So he, in a sense, I believe, has a total bay accommodation of six vehicles, if I recall. So he could technically have six vehicles inside at any one time.
So I know that when the Firestone was there before, that they often had a lot more vehicles than that waiting to be serviced. So I am concerned that he would have enough parking spaces for those vehicles, because just having six vehicles or just enough storage for just six vehicles overnight, I really think that he's more. And then there's in the parking lot, there are 206 spaces. So, and as Mr. Smotherson said, Bose is quite a popular establishment, and the parking lot is sometimes full and even parking on the street. So will it, is his this conditional use permit allowing him to use any of the parking spaces that are out in the public area?
We did an analysis of the parking, both with the current state of the building and even with the proposed expansion. And when we ran it across the board, if I remember correctly, he actually, that site per our current parking code still has a required surplus of 6 spaces. So we it has enough spaces for current uses. Now that said, it kind of goes back to some, you know, other things you see. Say for example, Subway or someplace expanded and they took more spaces than their neighbor, that could really restrict what can be done with some of those other suites in terms of, as proposed, he would have a sufficient amount of spaces.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who has a comment as I'm looking through seeing, I don't believe so. If there are no further questions.
John Mulligan.
Mayor, I think just to, it would be good to clarify what the council's voting on here, because this is a conditional use permit application, which is for a vehicle service facility with an accessory use car sales. Now, staff, as I understand it, is recommending that there be a conditional use permit for the vehicle service facility, but not the accessory car sales use. So the application for conditional use permit as presented, if approved by the council, would include that accessory used car sales, which staff is advised is not permitted under the zoning code. So I think it's, maybe perhaps we can clarify that on what exactly is before the council, whether it's the application as presented or whether it's the application as recommended with the change made by staff that would delete the accessory used car sales authorization.
Yeah, as recommended, because you see the transmittal letter that came from the Planning Commission, it actually has their vote number 7-0, recommended approval of the application subject to that condition. 1, approval of vehicle service facility only. No vehicle sales allowed with a conditional use permit.
Okay, thank you. And Ms. Reese, I don't remember who made the motion, but I believe it was Smotherson. Mr. Smotherson, was it your understanding as you made that motion that you are making the motion for the report that came from the Planning and Zoning Commission that allowed for vehicle maintenance, but not for vehicle sales, is that correct?
Yes, sir, that's my understanding, yes, sir.
And I believe your second was Mr.
Clay,
and that was, you were good with that on your second?
Yeah, that's based on the language of K110 is what I was looking at, but so that is my understanding.
John, are you good with that?
That's good. I just wanted the record to be clear.
Correct. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. We can now move forward, Mr. Rose, with item number 2.
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, item number K2 asks Council to consider the Habitat for Humanity lot donation contract. Mr. Cross, would you like to introduce this item?
Sure, thank you. I think this is an item that we saw or touched on back a few months back, and it's in reference to Habitat for Humanity's new construction of new single-family homes within the 6500 block of Plymouth. If you recall, in the past, there was some concerns about the clustering of the homes, and there needed to be some additional consideration of how many new homes would be constructed on that lot. They talked about ultimately doing 7 homes, but now they're looking to do a phased approach. So what they're asking for is for the city to go ahead and donate one lot, 6524 which then will give them site control of three lots within that block, because they currently also have two privately owned lots. So what they would like to do is get control of this lot so they could pursue their application with St. Louis County to get the funding to complete three of the seven new homes within the 6500 block of Plymouth Avenue. And I believe the actual, that would be the 6524. We also have 6526 and 6545, but those two are not up right now. They may be considered in the future. But if they can get this and get their application done, then they would further consider a new application in the future. It could potentially involve renovations and so forth. So they're just asking for word on the donation of this lot.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion to approve? Mr. Clay, is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Is there a discussion? And I can't see everyone, so if you have discussion, just raise your hand and be patient.
Thank you, Cusick. Tim.
Mr. Cusick. Yes.
Mr. Cross, so we're being asked to donate one, give them one parcel of property, correct?
Correct.
And then they're supposed to seek application with St. Louis County. Supposing their applications with St. Louis County falls through, do they still maintain and own and control that parcel of property that we give to them?
No, we built in into the sales contract where if they don't perform, so to speak, I believe it's an 18-month period where if they don't perform, that it would be kicked back to us at their cost and not our cost. There's a built-in clause that would revert it back if they don't perform.
And any type of title transfer fees, they would pay for that?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Oh, that was a good question to ask, Mr. Cusick. Sorry.
Oddly familiar.
Are there any other questions from any members of council? I cannot see Mr. McMahon, but other than that, no other questions of council, we've got a motion and a second on the floor. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. We will now move to unfinished business. We have bill number 9402. Madam Clerk, would you please give us the second reading?
An ordinance amending Schedule 3 of the Traffic Code to revise traffic regulation as provided herein.
May we have the third reading?
An ordinance amending Schedule 3 of the Traffic Code to revise traffic regulation as provided herein.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion to approve Bill number 9402? Motion by Mr. Pulse. Is there a second? I'm sure there probably would. Mr. Cusick, thank you very much. Is there any discussion? I see no hands up. Would you please call the roll, Madam Clerk?
Councilmember Carr?
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Councilmember Hales?
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Aye.
Councilmember Clay?
Aye.
Mayor Crowe?
Aye. Thank you very much. We now have before us Bill number 943. Madam Clerk, may we have the second reading?
An ordinance amending Chapter 120 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City relating to commissions, authorities, boards, and commissions by enacting therein a new article to be known as Article 23, Commission on Stormwater Issues, and a new section to be known as Section 120.1080, Commission on Stormwater Issues, establishing compositions, duties, officers, and rules.
Thank you very much. May we have the third reading?
An ordinance amending Chapter 120 of the Municipal Code of the City of University City relating to commissions, authorities, boards, and commissions by enacting therein a new article to be known as Article 23, Commission on Stormwater Issues, and a new section to be known as Section 120.1080, Commission on Stormwater Issues, established composition, duties, officers, and rules.
Thank you very much. Ms. Carr, would you like to make a motion?
I would. Thank you very much, Mayor. I move that we adopt this this bill.
Thank you very much. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Cusick. I cannot see Mr. McMahon at this time, but if anyone has a question for discussion, please let me know. Seeing nothing or any signal from anyone else, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Councilmember Hales?
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Aye.
Councilmember Clay?
Aye.
Councilmember Carr?
Aye.
Mayor Crow?
Aye. Thank you very much. The matter passes. Congratulations, Ms. Carr. You have put a yeoman's work in on this.
Thank you, Mayor.
We've now moved through unfinished business. Let's see, where am I for new business? I've got to go back and find another sheet here. Do I have any? Oh, there it is. I apologize. It takes me just a second here. We have no new business before us. Under council reports and businesses, if I could take just a moment, I think many of you had a chance to watch the workings of the Economic Development Retail Sales Tax Board that convened at 5 o'clock this afternoon to hear a report from Mr. Cross and from our city manager regarding the allocation of funds of the EDRST to our businesses in University City during this COVID-19 crisis. First, I want to thank the members of the EDRST for moving through so quickly and getting a meeting set up, and for the thoughtfulness of the questions that they provided both to their colleagues and, of course, to staff. I think many of you noticed that there were questions regarding marketing strategies, regarding language, regarding length of time, and regarding the formula to be used. As you know, that recommendation then came from the EDRST to the City Council. And I would hope that my colleagues would join, and I'm sure you, I can't imagine you wouldn't, that we move forward on this EDRST proposal very quickly. And in my conversations with the city manager, we believe that we could schedule a City Council meeting to discuss this matter as early as this coming Wednesday, which would be the day after tomorrow. And I would hope that any of my colleagues, we don't necessarily need a motion for the meeting. I'm sort of letting you know that we need to have a meeting on Wednesday. And I would like for you to let me know if there are times that do not work. I had the opportunity to talk to Mr. McMahon since he has a few more irons in the fire as far as work. And he believes he can join us either from work or from home. And since we're all sort of, most of us working from home anyway, if I said 3 o'clock on Wednesday, is that doable, or is it 5 o'clock? Is it 5:30? Citizens can still participate because they'll be giving us comments ahead of time. The agenda will be the EDRST loan program, forgivable loan program. And so I would just like to come up with a time that is conducive to everyone's schedule as much as possible. Mr. Smotherson, you had a question.
No, sir. I just wanted to let you know that for me, it has to be after 3:30.
Okay. Perfect.
Same. Really after 4. Okay. Well, yeah, 4 is it could be the absolute earliest.
Okay. If I said we were going to have a meeting at 4:30, is that going to push you, or do you want to make it 5 o'clock? I am happy to help.
I can do 4:30.
My hope was if we could do 4:30, then Mr. McMahon could probably then sort of make it home from work. And Steve, I can't see you, so is 4:30 good for you?
4:30 is fine.
And Mr. Hales, Paulette, you're good.
Yes,
sir.
Tim's good. Gregor, are you okay with that?
That works for me, Mayor.
No, I was just going to say, as long as I can get to see Lester Holt, I'm fine.
I thought the best quote on Facebook today was, when did the Today Show go to 3 hours? So anyway, are there other council reports or business from my colleagues? And I can see everybody except for Mr. McMahon. Hearing nothing, we will move forward. Citizen participation. Again, we have the comments provided to us by our citizens. And again, we are trying this out the best way that we can. We will continue to improve this, we hope. as time moves forward. So please get your comments to the city clerk, and the agenda will be posted for the meeting that is coming up on Wednesday so that citizens can participate. We've received several comments regarding the EDRST loan program already, and so did the EDRST board members. So with that being said, do any of my colleagues have council comments that they would like to make this evening? Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. I just wanted to simply say that congratulations to Paulette on the Stormwater Commission now. And I think that's important to, because that's sort of related to what I'm hoping that we can see in the future, and that is an Economic Development Commission. Because right now, EDRST board deals with the money, but I'm looking for an EDRST commission that actually deals with the type of businesses that we put into University City, whether that be the Loop, whether that be Olive or Del Mar or any of the businesses, more focused on that area. The reason I say that is because, as I mentioned to my colleague, Councilman Clay, you know, we have a new business that opened up, or that is opening up on Olive, I guess, sometime soon. And it distresses me. It bothers me a lot in that it just shows the downfall, or I guess I should say, the disregard of the Third Ward. Because again, we've got a Dollar Tree, we've got a Dollar General, we've got two Family Dollars. And again, on Olive, not necessarily in the Third Ward, but two Family Dollars. And now somebody's opening a Dollar City next to Boogie's Donuts. I mean, he can't even, and they don't even really understand. I don't know and understand what they're going to be or trying to be. He's got snacks, candy, and hardware, and then also lottery tickets. But and then on the door it says Dollar Plus. I'm confused. But to be honest and serious, I'm concerned about the type of businesses that are being placed in the Third Ward, and that concerns me. And one of the things I'm hoping that can be addressed is an Economic Development Commission that actually can look at and view businesses that are coming into UC. So that's all I wanted to say, and I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Okay, I think Mr. Hales, I think you're next.
Thank you, Mayor. I too want to congratulate Councilmember Carr on the Stormwater Commission. We have known each other for quite some time, and she was at one point the only voice I remember speaking up about this issue. And unfortunately, at an earlier time, didn't have much support behind that. And so many years later, it is nice that she had the support and has the support of the entire council. So congratulations to Councilmember Carr. The council may know, I don't know that the public knows that is watching this, but certainly they know about a number of social media posts about this EDRST forgivable loan program that we discussed earlier tonight. And I was on the meeting, as I think a number of my colleagues were. I can speak for myself, and I've talked to several of you, that I think we've all been following this very, very closely. And it's an issue that, as it has developed, has been very important to us. I think I spoke with the city manager 3 or 4 times last week, just getting updates on this. I also want to thank the all of the members of the EDRST board who made themselves available for this special meeting by Zoom, which was the first time they've done it. And, you know, all of us tried a Zoom meeting a couple of weeks ago, and it was a little touchy at the beginning, and it's definitely something new. I think we settled into it a little bit better this evening. But I certainly wanted to thank them for making this a priority in their schedule to have this emergency meeting to help our businesses and look at this plan and make really good, thoughtful comments, suggestions, raising concerns. It was very, very good. And it was also good to not only be able to listen to the audio, but to be able to see the members as they deliberated in this kind of environment. A number of things have been said about this, and I think all of us are used to barbs being thrown at us from time to time as elected officials. There was one thing that was said that was not about us. It frankly was about our city manager and about what he said relating to this this proposal, that it was being delayed and that the city manager had said in an email, which we were all copied on, that this proposal would not come to council until the 13th, or I'm sorry, May 11th, excuse me. In my conversations with Gregory last week, I think his biggest concern and the biggest challenge was, can we get the EDRST board to meet through Zoom in very short order and get them to be able to have this conversation, which went off without a hitch and went off very well, as I said. And to that, I think, you know, thanks is in order to the city clerk, Loreet, who I'm sure was involved in that on some level, Mike Carlin, the IT person, who I know was certainly involved in that, as well as the communications director, Allison Bamberger. And I apologize, I'm going longer than probably I might have ever gone on this. But it's because this issue is incredibly important. And I know it was important to all of us that it get done. The city manager was very clear with me last week that this was, he wanted to have a special meeting, that the only issue certainly was getting EDRST to be able to have their meeting and make their recommendation, because obviously we cannot make an approval before they take their action. And finally, there was one comment that I received that really, frankly, I care enough that it really kind of hit me a little bit emotionally. And it was the suggestion that the city and that the council has not been transparent on this issue. And transparency is the reason I got involved a number of years ago. And in just roughly two short years now, this council, even before I was on, restored commission audio being recorded at our meetings. We, in very short order, after I came on council, unanimously approved and supported and implemented, with the help of Mike Carlin and others, the live streaming, which I think has frankly helped us considerably to be able to adjust so quickly to this type of environment. Our communications, we're making Facebook posts now, we're making Instagram posts, we're making tweets. We are providing a weekly newsletter. That never, never happened. I cannot thank the city manager and his staff enough for all of the efforts and the work that has gone into improving the city's communication and outreach to our residents and doing so just, I mean, we have made leaps and bounds. So I apologize for going on so much. It is so important to me that we are transparent as a government, as a council, and that is all. Thank you.
Ms. Carr.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to thank my colleagues for being in support of the Stormwater Issues Commission. It was very important to me, as mentioned earlier. There was little support as I struggled to bring the plight of the people who are directly affected to the attention of the council years ago, and that hasn't been the case in the last few years. So to my colleagues, thank you. But none of this would have been possible without the work of the commissioners. They did the hard work. I'm very appreciative and proud of the many, many long hours and expertise that they put into this. And I know that going forward, they will continue to make contributions to our city along these lines. So I want to say very personally that that their work impressed me and really made a difference, and thank you.
Anyone else? Mr. Clay.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. Very quickly, I did want to acknowledge Council Member Carr, because as many know, the municipal election was pushed back. And as we know, Council Member Carr has served with great distinction for many years on the council, and I think was looking forward to the next stage in her life, but has agreed to stay on and continue with her role, continuing her deep sense of commitment to this community. So I did want to acknowledge that.
Thank you. Unless Steve has something, I don't think he does.
Nope.
Mine will be very brief. I know that all of you will join me in congratulating Mary Schumann. Mary Schumann is a former member of council who was honored by CASA, court-appointed special advocates for minors in St. Louis County, for her 17 years of volunteer service with that organization. She was honored this past week for that dedication to our community in yet another way. So my applause and congratulations go out to Mary. With that, I would welcome a motion to go into closed session according to Missouri Revised Statute 610.021, legal actions, causes of action, or litigation involving a governmental body or confidential or privileged communications. Is such a motion to be made? Ms. Carr, seconded by second. Mr. Hale. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Cusick?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Aye.
Councilmember Clay?
Aye.
Councilmember Carr?
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Councilmember Hales?
Aye.
Mayor Crowe?
Aye. Thank you very much. To the public, thank you for joining us on our Zoom camera. To the members of council, you have a separate invitation to join a closed session that we will start within the next few minutes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.